Good morning, America. This is Wayne Ahart speaking for the Old Glory Network podcast. Thank you for tuning in for another message of common sense values designed to make Old Glory great again. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. On January 29th of this year, 2020, I wrote this article called Christianity Under Attack. Christianity has been under attack for many years by communists, socialists, leftists, and Muslims. Increasingly, they have stepped up their attacks in more recent times and will, in my judgment, continue elevating their attacks in hopes of killing it off once and for all. Christianity is a threat to their desired way of life. They desire to live a no-holds-barred, anything-goes lifestyle. The result of their lifestyle brings a plethora of unimaginable, sickening behavior. As our nation and the world move left and further away from Christianity, the rule of law and the blessings of liberty described and guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights. I'm sure you have noticed that we have retreated to a place where morality doesn't matter the more leftward that we drift. Have you noticed that more children are being abducted and sold into slavery? Pedophilia is sharply on the rise. Rapes occur at an alarming rate. Unprovoked attacks on unsuspecting citizens. Murders. Increased gang activities. Uncivil language tolerated. Crooked politicians. Theft. Drive-by shootings and cheating in all things is a normal way of life now. More and more people seem to be unrestrained by morality. Only one thing stands in the way of this freewheeling way of life, and that is the teaching of Christ. Christianity is like a cop standing in the middle of the street, blowing the whistle, saying, "Stop!" Those attacking Christianity in the United States and worldwide are wanting to kill the cop and silence the whistle. In America, the very founding of our country was based on Christian principles. In God we trust. Well, that's why we have laws, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. That's why we have courts, the right to free speech, and the right to keep and bear arms. Any and all attacks on religion is an attack on our way of life, our liberty, and security. And all organized such attacks will come and always come from the left. Viva la conservatism. Viva la Christianity. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I have one more article that I want to discuss with you today that was written in 2008, January of 2008, and it's called Free Enterprise versus Government Benefits. The free enterprise system is an economic playbook designed to reward participants for good performance and to punish those who abuse the core principles that are the foundation of free enterprise. ABC Sports has a slogan to describe winners and losers in athletic events, which is fitting for winners and losers in our economic game of life. And that statement is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Winners enjoy a life of dreams, nice homes, nice cars, peace of mind, great vacations, travel, country clubs, philanthropy, etc., etc., etc. Many others, which is the vast majority, never reach this level of achievement and therefore are limited in their quality of life. They have more to worry about and they are less wealthy. The rules, the opportunities, and the risks are the same for everybody. So why do some achieve greatly and some just get along? Well, hundreds of thousands of people are big winners in our economic system, but millions are not. Why? First, let's talk about some fallacies that many blame for the differences. One, good luck. It's happened, but seldom. Few people become winners in the free enterprise system due to good luck. The wealthy, the average, and the poor have plenty of good luck and bad luck. Most luck for everybody is actually bad. But big winners have made a habit of capitalizing on what good luck they have and do a much better job of shrugging off their bad luck and looking for and finding the opportunity in their bad luck to turn it to their favor. Attitude makes the difference. A great attitude will be positive and with enthusiasm find the silver lining. A poor attitude will feel sorry for itself. Expect the bad outcome, learn nothing, and lose. Then two is winners have superior intelligence. Not true. Try again. There is very little difference in the innate intelligence of most of mankind. Those that are clearly more intelligent are generally scientists of some sort. Highly successful people are not more intelligent than most people, but they do have a more positive attitude and they believe in themselves. Three, winners were just at the right place at the right time. Well, I can't argue with that. They were. But so were millions of others. If you are reading this, you have been at the right place at the right time ever since you were born. What place and what time would you have picked differently? What place and what time would be better than this place at this time? Number four, they say, I don't have the time to do anymore. Well, that's not true either. You have the same amount of time that everyone else has. It's what you do with your time that makes the difference. Differences in human beings that determine success or being average is attitude, attitude, attitude. Everyone has an attitude, but they are different. And you have the right and the ability to determine what yours is. Some say, I'll be happy when I'm successful. But most who are successful were happy before. Some believe they can do anything. Others doubt everything. I've heard thousands say, I can't be a salesman. Well, the heck you can't. Everybody can be a salesman. In fact, everybody is a salesman. Why not get better at it? Some say, I don't want to be that committed and determined and enthusiastic or work that hard. Oh, we're not talking about what you don't want here. We're talking about what you can do. Things successful people do differently from average people? Well, successful people read more, take notes more, study more, plan more, work more, think more, believe more, give more, vote more, They watch less TV. They waste less time. They drink less. They worry less and complain less. All of these are true as a general rule, but there are exceptions to each of them. Average people, and especially poor people, are pawns in the hands of liberal politicians. Since the Great Depression, their support and votes have been purchased by political promises of more and more from the government. The feeling of being entitled to ever-increasing benefits, too numerous to mention, is now ingrained in the poor and middle class. Liberal politicians have promised so many goodies and government candy that the poor and middle class are on a sugar high, and Congress' answer to their malady is another spoon of sugar. The African-American voters have not only been hooked, but they've been caught and put on the Democratic Party stringer. For many, many years, they have been voting for the party that promises to give them the most. What happened to the idea expressed by President John F. Kennedy when he uttered the phrase, "Ask not what your country can do for you"? The new clarion call to the poor and middle class is, vote for the party that will give you the most for doing the least. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. No government on its best day could ever provide for you as well as you can provide for yourself through the free enterprise system. Therefore, you need to start demanding that politicians do everything in their power to protect your freedom and opportunity. Tax less, regulate less, and remove all incentives to do little or nothing created by government handouts. Over the years, there has been a consistent movement to destroy the free enterprise system by a two-pronged attack. The first prong involves increasing risk, costs, regulations, taxation, and reducing profits of entrepreneurial projects. Today, it is extremely difficult to start, finance, nurture, and build any new venture. And all these difficulties are caused by governmental agencies. It's hard enough to start a new venture and compete without any interference from government. But add in all the roadblocks of government and they make every entrepreneur feel like a one-armed paper hanger. Now, if you're one of the really good ones and actually succeed in spite of everything, you then have to hire a string of experts and lawyers and accountants, etc., to make sure that you're okay with the feds, the cities, the counties, the states. After all of that, here come the lawyers like a plague of locusts to devour anything left over. The second prong is a coordinated effort by the press. Legal profession, academia, and liberal politicians to make society believe that successful entrepreneurs are greedy, deceitful, crooked bastards. This past week, a candidate for president of the United States of America, Senator Barack Obama, in a televised debate, lashed out at fellow senator and candidate Hillary Clinton by saying that while he was in Chicago helping organize or protect workers' rights, one supposes from a greedy, deceitful, crooked bastard, that Hillary was sitting on the board of directors of Walmart. Horrors, horrors. What a terrible thing to sit on the board of the world's most successful retailer. Walmart has saved its customers billions of dollars and provided hundreds of thousands of jobs, purchased billions of dollars of goods in the marketplace, and paid truckloads of taxes. Those greedy, deceitful, crooked bastards, and that goes for all their board members. Don't you just hate success? Is this any way to treat entrepreneurs? Let us not forget that small business provides the vast majority of all jobs in America. One would think that so-called learned people like politicians, lawyers, teachers, and reporters would encourage them, praise them, and attempt to make their jobs easier. One would think they would praise their success and hope they would do more of it. One would think they would promote the idea that poor and middle class should learn how to do it and encourage them and root for them. No, they prefer to keep promising them just enough to keep them poor and dependent. By the way, Hillary didn't defend Walmart or herself for being a board member. She merely accused Barack of representing a slumlord as his lawyer. I suppose she wanted the slumlord to spend enough money on the properties whereby none of his renters could afford it. Slum houses look pretty bad to politicians, but look pretty good to street people. In my opening paragraph, I mentioned that the free enterprise system was designed to reward for good performance and to punish those who abuse the core principles that are the foundation of free enterprise. One of the key principles of the market system are the choices you make. Now, if you pick a poor location, you're punished for it. If you make a poor investment, you're punished for it. Any decision you make can be either good or bad, and you're either rewarded or punished accordingly. However, the government is now attempting to bail out and save people and companies for their bad decisions. As I am writing this, the President and Congress are hammering out a government giveaway to the tune of $150 billion for poor decisions on mortgages. The government doesn't have this money, but they know where to get it from the people that didn't make the bad decisions. Reward the bad decision makers and punish the good is their philosophy. When I grew up, I was taught if I bought a house or a car on a loan and couldn't pay for it, I lost it. The punishment part of the free enterprise system is just as important as the rewarding part. The free enterprise system works because of the hope for the reward and the fear of losing everything if you're not prudent. Take that fear away, and a lot more imprudent decisions will doom our beloved opportunity-laden market system. Then, see what government will do for you. Ladies and gentlemen, as we sign off today, remember that yes, you can become a millionaire, and that nothing is more precious than your freedom. Tune in each week to Old Glory Network podcast and be motivated to improve your life, improve your opportunities, and help us make Old Glory great again. You know, if you are a conservative, then you will want to listen to the Old Glory Network podcast. If you are not a conservative, then you need to listen to the Old Glory Network podcast. Call your friends and relatives. Encourage them to listen, and then discuss the content together. Do your part to keep Old Glory great for your kids and grandkids. If you love America, then help us keep it. And remember this, you can order Kevin Dale Ahart's music on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, or Amazon. Or if you would like to order his complete album of Cowboy's Revenge, you can do so at Texana Records at info at krwoodproductions.com. Or by calling area code 512 203-7921. Also, K.R. Wood himself has some great cowboy music and Western history. Ask about those when you call. And be sure to visit our website at oldglorynetwork.com for more information. And happy trails till we meet again.